Go to Hebrews 12, if you will. I talked about the chastisement of the Lord this morning, and that the Lord is wanting to bless us so much. He wants to bless you so much that He goes to great lengths to get you and I into position for that blessing. Really, we have to look at it from that lens, from that perspective, because it's always out of love that God operates, because He's love. And so if God is going to punish or even chastise or bring us through a time of discipline of some type, it's always because He wants to bless us in the end. Now, we all know the story of Job and how Job didn't understand what was going on, because Job did his best to live right, you know. In his mind's eye, he was pretty righteous. And even though Job was a righteous man, God wanted Job to be even more righteous at the end. God was going to bring him into a new level, a new dimension of holiness. And so there had to be a process that he needed to go through to get to that place of promotion. There's always a process that precedes a promotion. Amen? There are tests along the way. There are things that we have to experience in life so that God can bring us into a place of a greater blessing. We want a greater authority in the Spirit. We want a greater anointing. Well, there is something that we're going to have to go through to get to that place. And it's not always comfortable. However, after we've gone through it and we've entered into the blessing, we rejoice like never before. We can rejoice at a higher level than we ever did before. You know, when you've had to wait for something, it enhances its blessing when it comes. The blessing is always enhanced. If everything is instantaneous, right, it can, in a sense, it gets cheapened in our mind, in our hearts. But when you've had to endure something, when you had to overcome something, when you had to go through a valley, and then when the blessing comes, it's like, wow! I've been crawling in the desert, and here's this oasis, finally. Now, if I lived in the oasis all the time, right? I think I'll grab a glass of water. I don't need any water. But when you've been in the desert and you've been thirsty, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. And so thirst is important. And it's conditions, it's circumstances in life that create a hunger and a desire for Him and a knowledge that we have need of God. It's His mercy that sometimes puts us in a place where we're uncomfortable for a season so that we can be brought into the refreshing. We can be brought into a greater glory. We can be brought into a greater blessing from Father. Why? Because He wants to bless others through you. And He wants to bless more abundantly through you. He wants to bless greater than what you've experienced right now. I don't want to be where I am today, tomorrow. I want to grow. I want to be stretched. And we are going to be stretched, folks. It's always easier to cooperate with God than it is to butt against, you know, the process. Like the Israelites complained and grumbled in the wilderness, you know. But it's always easier to cooperate. That means to be willingly and agreeable, right? To be willing and agreeable with God. So, let's look at this in chapter 12. Now, in chapter 11, this is, you know, the faith chapter, where there are all these examples of those who have, you know, have gone before and had a good testimony, and that they had really believed God, and they walked with God, and they set an example for others, that we could find even hope by looking at their life and saying, wow, Abraham, Isaac, Joseph, Moses, all these, you know. Therefore, we also, now he's talking, he's referring to his church now, right? To the church. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. So even though even this church had a level of persecution, it was not anything like that which Jesus endured. And you know, no matter what we go through in this life, there's usually somebody else that's gone through more. And ultimately, no one suffered like our Lord. And there was a reason also for that, in that he could empathize, he could sympathize with us. He understands what it is to suffer. Amen? And so, you have forgotten, he said, the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. Verse 5, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there from whom a father does not chasten? But verse 8 says, but if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Now understand that in context here too, these Roman nobles would often have illegitimate children. And they would take care of them financially. You know, they had mistresses and they had affairs and they would take care of them. You know, make sure that they were taken care of in financially anyways, that they didn't starve. But they did not undergo the training and the equipping that a real son would for the purpose of bearing the father's name. You see, as sons and daughters, God has to condition us and equip us and hone us, if you will, so that we will begin to bear his image in the earth. So that after we have been trained, after we have been disciplined, after we have gone through the process, we can effectively and correctly bear witness to who he is in the earth. We're going through a process of beautification, of preparation for kingdom reigning. Amen? So chastisement of the Lord is good. He's a good father. And it doesn't just mean getting spanked. It means having set some boundaries, having placed us in a type of disciplined life where we learn how to walk in a way that pleases the Lord. Yeah. We want to learn how to please the Lord. Why? Because we bear his name. We represent our Father in the earth. We represent Christ. We are Christians, followers of Jesus. And so we need to correctly, amen, present him to the unbeliever. And so we have to have patience. Even as God has patience with us, he disciplines us, but he also gives us lots of grace. Would you agree? A good parent also gives grace. Sometimes you just let stuff go. You overlook it. All right? You don't slam them every time they mess up. How many have ever told your kids, well, this time it's on me, next time it's on you? You know, Jesus bore our sins on the cross. And that blood covers us, folks, in more ways than we realize. That we don't always get everything that we deserve. Aren't you glad? It is true that we reap what we sow. However, God's grace trumps a lot of that. Are you with me? There's times when God just winks at something, He overlooks it. And He gives you grace. He says, all right, I'm going to let that one slide. I told you about the boy that was out here taking his bike and running over our gutters. Pulled the bottom off and he ran over them until they were flat. And I saw the boys out in the alley when we were taking off, and I saw them back there. And I thought, what are they up to back there? And I just drove in. I came back later and I look, and the gutters are, the bottom of the gutters are laid. This didn't happen recently. This is a while back. And so I found out, because the kids, they tell on each other. And I said, through the grapevine, I talked to some other kids and I found out who it was. And so next time I saw him over here, I said, hey, come here for a minute. Do you know what happened to those gutters? I could play with them a little bit. I was kind of doing a Joseph thing, you know. And he goes, no. Well, you know what? I said, you're not lying to me, are you? And he looks down and he goes, no. I said, well, somebody said you did it. And I said this to him. I said, you know what? I'm gonna let you go this time. I'm not going to tell your dad. I'm not going to even make you pay for those gutters. I says, I'm going to show you grace this time. I'm going to overlook it. I said, but don't ever do that again. I want you to learn from this. And then I told him, I said, that's what Jesus did for you. His grace, folks, I want you to hear this. He's overlooked those things because He paid the price for us. And even when we weren't looking for Him, even when we don't deserve, what He's done, God has been so gracious to us that He hasn't given us exactly what we deserve. Under the law, it was an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. If you did this, that was going to happen. No questions asked. But we are living in the time of God's grace. But we are never to receive God's grace in vain. We are never to trample underfoot the grace of God. Would you say amen? But we are to look beyond that and say, Father, I thank You that You showed me mercy here. You could have judged me. You could have thrown me in hell, but You showed me mercy. Now I know how much You love me. And I want to serve You the rest of my life. Yeah. God showed me a lot of mercy, a lot of grace. And so now I can go and do the same for somebody else. Amen? But because we're sons and daughters, there's going to be discipline at times. There has to be. We have to be careful with our kids that we are not too... Sometimes we get carried away with liberties. How many know what I'm talking about? There has to be consequences for actions too. Because we love them too much just to let them go down a path of destruction. God loves you so much that He's not going to allow you just to, get away with it. He may allow one time, two times. You know, there's a scripture in Ecclesiastes that says, because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed speedily, the hearts of men are fully set in them to do evil or to do wickedly. Yeah. Oh, I got away with it. Nothing seemed to happen. Oh. Don't be so sure. Be sure your sins will find you out. But when we come to Jesus and we come to Him for mercy, He is a compassionate and merciful high priest. Amen? He is a loving God and He wants to forgive us. He doesn't get tired of forgiveness. Aren't you glad? So if you are undergoing the process, and you are, and we all are, because we're sons and daughters, it's a good thing. Because He's making us effective vessels for the kingdom. He's bringing us into a place where we're going to bear fruit. Amen? And I don't know about you, but I want much fruit. And so in order to get to a place of much fruit, there has to be pruning. There has to be some discipline. There has to be some chastisements. There has to be, you know, the Father's got to lovingly bring us back into line. And we saw that this morning. We talked about Israel and how God severely judged His people at times, and He raised up their enemies against them, and He even allowed them to go into Babylonian captivity. But it was never that He hated His people. It was always out of love that in the end He might bless them even more. Because in the end they would praise Him. So when you go through it, and when you're going through the valleys and you're going through the difficulties, know that the ultimate end of that, if you cooperate, is greater blessing. Oh, yeah. So that we might be a blessing in the earth. I believe that God is going to be doing things with your life in the days ahead. He's going to bring you into places you never thought you would be. But right now you're going through some stuff that, and some of you are right now, you're in a place you've never been in your life. You know, we all have to a degree, but you know what I'm talking about? You've gone through some trials that you've just never had a taste of before. But the purpose of that is because God is going to do something phenomenal in your life. God is going to bless you in ways that you never dreamed. And I believe that we're going to be seeing a harvest like unprecedented is coming. And as the difficulties of our age begin to encroach upon people from all different levels of society, it's already happening, they're going to start getting desperate. And those of us who have been, if you will, in the fires of refinement, in the conditioning of the Lord, who are going to have a peace that passes all understanding, amen? A steadfastness, guess who they're going to come running to? They're going to be looking for God's people. And they're going to say, the day's coming, they're going to say, what must I do to be saved? And oh, I want to introduce you to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's shaking everything. But folks, we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And we are on the solid rock. We are on the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. And He was the one who will sustain us, and He will through to the end. So keep your eyes on the prize, looking at you, Jesus. Be like a dog, amen, on a hunt. Yeah. You've heard that Chinese proverb before, but you know, a dog that sits in the kennel swats the fleas, you know. He's in the kennel. But when a dog is on assignment, when a dog is on the hunt, he forgets all about the fleas. So we cannot be distracted by the devil. We cannot be distracted by the fleas. When we're on mission, we got our eyes on the prize. Amen. We're going after Jesus. And when you go after Jesus, and you can, like Delsa said, you continue to seek the Lord, you shall not want any good thing. God's going to take care of you. And I believe supernatural protection for His people as well. So Lord, we thank You for Your promise that You would never leave us nor forsake us. We thank You for the discipline of the Lord, that You are conditioning us, equipping us, preparing us, Lord, that we may reign, Lord, as members of Your kingdom. Lord, we want to make You famous in the earth. We want this to be about You, Lord. We want to see Your kingdom come and Your will be done, Lord. Because we want to put a smile on Your face, Lord. We want to see You in that day smiling on us. And we want to hear You say in that day, well done, my good and faithful servant. Lord, all we can do is present ourselves to You and trust You and know that You're going to work all things together for the good, because we love You and we've been called according to Your purpose. We are the called out ones. We are the church. And we know we are the apple of Your eye. And You will never leave us. Hallelujah. Thank You for Your promise. Lord, we pray that You will bring us into a place where we will be effective. We will effect change in the earth. Lord, we want to see nations saved. And we pray You use us. So we just submit ourselves, Lord, to the conditioning that You bring us through, Lord, to bring us into that place of much fruit, and that our fruit will remain. In Jesus' name, amen.